Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
How's everybody doing tonight? Y'all excited about being in the house of the Lord? Can y'all do one little favor for me? I'm used to, you know, from a Latino family, an Italian Latino family, everybody being close. Can y'all that are in the end zone kind of come to the 50-yard line here? Is that possible? It'd make me feel real secure. So everybody stand up again so that they don't get noticed, you know, who's out there in the outer skirts and stuff. Okay, now turn around and greet someone. In the meantime, people can kind of start scooting in and getting a little bit closer, because we're getting ready to feed on the word of the Lord. And coming from a big Italian family, when it was time to eat, my dad never ate in the garage while my mom was in the kitchen, and my brother out in the backyard. Everybody was nice and close eating that pasta together. You know what I'm talking about? So we like being close. I mean, a lot of churches, you know, they're so spread out that people could be sitting by someone, I mean, for years and not really know them. You know what I'm talking about? It's like one time I heard a story about a guy in a grocery line, and the guy in front of him, you know, he tapped him on the shoulder and he said, "Joe, how you doing? Man, what's going on? What's happening?" He started all, and Joe turned around and he said, you know, he had this funny look. He really didn't remember who this guy was. You ever had that happen? You think maybe the longer they talk, the more that maybe you'll recognize them? He said, and finally the guy said, you don't know who I am. We've been going to the same church for the last 10, 15 years. And then Joe said, "Wow, let me see, turn around." He turned around. "Oh, Tom, how you doing?" All he recognized was the back of his head the whole time. So say hello, introduce yourself to the person next to you. If you don't know them, say hello to someone there. And we're getting ready to take off. I tell you what, it is a difficult act to follow up when Goaty, the preaching machine, if y'all were here last week, I heard she knocked the ball so far out of the park, you haven't been able to find it yet. And that's a difficult one to be able to follow up. I mean, she's got the anointing of God enough for her, her family, and everybody else here that we can go back for seconds. But this is one of my favorite topics, talking about the book of Acts. Some people call it the Acts of the Apostles, but really it's the Acts of Faith. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the Acts of boldness. It's the Acts of taking a risk. And we're going to talk about some of these topics tonight. Love a risk. Love a risk. Regardless of what's happened to you in the past, you might have failed, but that doesn't mean that you're a failure. You might have lost, but that doesn't mean that you're a loser. That God wants you to step out again. I love the way Winston Churchill said it. He said, "Success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm." Come on. It's going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. In other words, staying excited about the things of God. We live in Miami, Florida. We've got 5 children. In case you don't know, we started a little 5 children pattern around here, discipled all. We're Brock today, Pastor Brock, you know, and I'm here. Okay, have you guys passed me up yet? Almost. It's getting close. I mean, we got some good disciples passing up now. And people say, why do all you people got so many children? You ever wonder that? You wonder why everybody? Because we believe there's 2 ways to fill the world with Christians. You can evangelize or have a lot of children in the Lord. We're going to see all the earth filled with the glory by hook or by crook, one way or another. So we believe in having a lot of children and raising them in the things of the Lord. City of Miami, they don't send you their traffic today. They send you their blessing. Somebody told me today, "Oh, man, the traffic is really bad." You know, here, they're talking about here. And I said, "Man, you don't know what you're talking about. Traffic bad? I mean, here, they let you cut in line. You know, they wave to you, thank you. You know, they let you come out of the parking lot. I mean, there, they're shooting things at you, whether it's a bird or a gun or something." And, you know, I told our congregation there, because we have a church meets on Florida International University campus, 50,000 students from almost every nation in the entire world. I mean, we have right now in Miami, we've got 50 high schools, only 9 of them have a Christian club. We've got something like 16 colleges and universities representing 375,000 students, and most of them don't have a strong Christian witness. And I was telling the church the other day that really now is the time. I mean, we've got kindness in Miami goes a long way. It really does. Isn't that right? It goes a long way. So now I've taken some of the Southern hospitality, because we used to live here in Tennessee, and I've tried applying it there. So if somebody kind of, there's a little space in the traffic. I mean, it takes you an hour and a half sometimes just to get across town. I mean, it could be that bad. You can get out of your car, go to the 7-Eleven, get something to drink, come back to your car in traffic. It's still in the same spot if it hadn't been robbed. So now if there's a little bit of gap and you pull in front, you get in front of someone, I just roll down my window, wave to them, you know, thank you. But I found that they think that you're insulting them, that they didn't press on the accelerator fast enough. They don't know that they didn't actually want you to get in front of them. They didn't want you. We found out real quick living in Miami that it's the first city in the world. I mean, I don't know how they developed the cars like this in Miami, but it's the first place in the world that the gas pedal and the horn are connected. They really are. I mean, if you don't press that at the same time, I mean, it's turning green, and you don't take off, man. They're ready. This guy recently pulling in his neighbor. Most of the middle-class neighborhoods, and especially upper-class neighborhoods, they're gated communities. Not because people got a whole lot of chump change down there. It's because just to keep your things safe in Miami. So you got to wait till the bar, you know, the thing goes up. You know, you pull in, you get the scanner, and the thing goes up. So the bar was just going up in the neighborhood. Just going up, and the guy behind, the guy in front of him. So the guy in front of him gets out of the car and walks around. He says, come on, man. We have been neighbors for years. You know me. I know you. We know our families. Come on, give me a break. Give me a break. He didn't know it was him. But we're here this evening, and we're going to talk about what the grace of God, the power of God can do in nations around the world, beginning right here. In this, how many of y'all ready? Y'all ready? Got your notes out? You got your YouVersion? I like that. YouVersion ready in this series from the book of Acts. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to talk about a bold strategy. The word prevails when Jesus' followers are bold. And you've got some bold pastors here. Pastor Rice discipled me and my wife, poured into us, and we were able to pour into others. And one of the traits of this ministry, if you've been trying to put your finger on it and you've been around for a short time, what makes it is that we believe in being bold. We believe that the righteous, like the Bible says, are as bold as lions. That's what we believe. We believe in a Jesus that is powerful, not a Jesus that's losing, a Jesus winning in the earth today. And where we're from, let sin abound, but grace will much more abound. Grace is going to win out. The power of God will win out. And this is what you find all throughout the book of Acts. It's people doing mighty feats because they serve a big God. You show me the size of your faith, I'll show you the size of your God. Simple as that. A lot of people have got a little G. I serve big G. I serve a big God that said all things are possible to the one who believes. How many believers we have around here today? About 5 or 10 of y'all. How many believers we got here? They're believers. We got to be believers. Everybody say, I've got to be a believer. I've never seen more unbelieving believers than I have in the last few years in the United States of America. Contradiction of terms. They say they're believers by name tag, Christian, but unbelief runs rampant. And we're going to look tonight and find out how to get some boldness in your believing. Acts chapter 4. Acts 4. Can I take my jacket off? Is that legal around here? I mean, getting a little bit hot. I mean, y'all... I heard a cold front's getting ready to move in. 43 degrees. Man, I better bring my thick jacket, man. That's freezing weather for where we're from. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, we're going to look at. Verse 13. We're going to look 13 through 17, then we're going to jump ahead. Now as they observed the confidence, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, one that the apostles use. Now as they observed the confidence, everybody say confidence. Confidence. Some translate say boldness. Of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. And that didn't mean that you drop out of high school. Hey, I want to be like them. You know, I don't need any training. No, they just happened to be uneducated, untrained men. It says they were marveling. Began to recognize them as having been with who? Been with Jesus. And says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. When they had ordered them to go aside out of the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread any further among the people, almost like what's happening today, you know, you got the politically correct Gestapo telling you can't tweet this and you can't say that. Oh, you can slam Christians, but you better not say anything about truth, about anything else. We've got one of our Miami Dolphins being fined now for simply saying a statement. So, but in order they may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. They ordered them. Now jump over to verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservant may speak the word with all confidence. Say all confidence. All confidence. You know, some people have a little bit of confidence, but God wants you to have all confidence. Some people have a confidence on their job, but not a confidence when it comes to their health. Some people have a confidence with their health, but not a confidence when it comes to child rearing. Some people have confidence in a few areas. God wants you to have all confidence. One more time. Say all confidence.
All confidence.
They speak your word with all confidence. While thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. You know, if you're following along in your notes, boldness requires convictions. Boldness requires exclusivity. There was no other name because they tapped into the name above every name, of the name of Jesus, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not some kind of pluralism that, you know, you have your way, my way. It's all. No, no. You follow the name. Everybody say the name. That's where boldness comes from. Exclusivity. Boldness also requires power. You see here, they had a boldness about them. But the big question, the $20,000 question tonight is, how do you get boldness? How do you get boldness? How do you increase boldness in your life? Is it something that's natural, that's somehow innate? Is it a gift from God? Is it talent? Well, I'm here to tell you, I grew up with a speech impediment. Didn't have the boldness. Matter of fact, got pulled out of my public school at least once a month with only one other guy in elementary school. A speech therapist would come in and try to rearrange the way we were speaking. And one day I was born overseas, and I know speak English. It wasn't that kind of stuff. It was, they said, something wrong with your speaking. I thought it was all right. I didn't think anything was wrong with it. My daddy never told me anything was wrong with it. My mama never said, but somehow they thought, you know, they're going to re-engineer me or something. And we had to go through this, an embarrassment of being poor. Your speech therapist, Gennaro, was here, and you had to come out of class and everything. I was petrified to speak before groups. I mean, timid. But I learned how to tap into the boldness of the resurrected Christ. I said, if Jesus is bold and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has called us, the Bible says, as beloved children, imitate God. Be imitators of God. So if Jesus was bold, the first century disciples were bold, then by golly, I can be bold too. And I began to seek out and search, how can I get some more boldness in my life? How many of y'all want a little more boldness? How do you get boldness? Where does it come from? How do you get more of it? And I'll tell you, you can write this down. We're going to need more boldness in the days to come than ever before as believers. Amen. I mean, even right now, you got everybody and their mama coming out of the closet, and they're pushing us into the closet, the Christians. I don't know, you saw Fox News the other day. They did, you know, the comparison. Here they're celebrating this athlete got drafted, you know, and opened to kissing his boyfriend. But hey, Tim Tebow, and how all, now why was this celebrated? But he's ostracized just last year and the year before. What is going on here? lack of boldness. If the Christians would have had more boldness 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, we wouldn't be in the condition we're in right now as a nation. But everybody got scared and everybody started backing up and, well, I don't want to offend, well, I don't want. We're not talking about some kind of brashness. We're not talking about being obnoxious for Jesus. We're not talking about being mean-spirited, legal, and not talking about any of that. But here you see the disciples and you see especially Jesus walking in love with truth. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. If you only speak the truth and you don't have love, you become a legalist. You become a Pharisee of first century. But you know what the Phariseeism of today is? It's on the other side. Let's just have love without truth. And then you become, write this down, you become a humanist, a spiritual humanist. But I believe God has called us with all the love of the Heavenly Father to sit down with people and say, bring truth to them, possibly with tears in our eyes. And it takes a boldness to do that because everything will push against that. You're going to be, write this down. What keeps boldness back is a fear of rejection. Simple as that. Can you imagine if the disciples would have been fearful of being rejected? Hey, I came to a place in my life by God's grace and His grace only that I finally had to cross the line and say, I'm more concerned about what Jesus thinks about my life than what my buddies think, about what the political world thinks, about what a professor thinks, or what have you. I'm more concerned about what he thinks. And you've got to cross that line too. You got to be willing to say, Jesus, what? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, he didn't say just, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, but are you ashamed of his words, truth? He said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come back. So again, some people aren't ashamed of Jesus. You know, they wear a little cross and it's kind of vogue and it's, you know, in now and, you know, everybody got Jesus and getting spiritual and all, but his words, where Jesus in John 14 and 15 said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. If you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll, you know, then it's a whole different thing. It changes things then. So where does it come from? How do you get more boldness? Look at verse 13. Verse 13. Number one, you have to be with Jesus. It says, they marveled and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And then verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed. Everybody say, when they had prayed. How much time do you spend with Jesus? How much time do you personally spend with him? This here is a supplement. I mean, this is like, you know, giving you just a seconds of what you're getting all week long. You've got to get into the presence of God. I get these notices, emailed to me almost every day. And right now it's like something like, I think it's 1,500 pastors a month are dropping out of ministry, some exorbitant amount. And I look at them, it's who's dropping out of ministry, and it's interesting, the majority are, I'm not criticizing anybody, from non-spirit-filled denominational churches. Non-spirit-filled. Without the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, we're singing about Him today, you're not going to be able to spend very much time in the presence of God. You get bored after 5 minutes. You want to check, you know, tweet and check this, and you're taking your phone in there with you, you're getting distracted. Okay, I did my 15 minutes, I'm out of there. You got to put the phone away, unless you're using YouVersion, you know, and you read, and you're going to have to learn how to be a worshiper of the Lord. You know what? Only one place in the Bible I can find where it says that God will go after people. It says He's going after those that are worshipers. He's searching. The Father is searching for those who would worship. We're supposed to search out Jesus. It says, if you seek Him, you'll find Him when you search for Him with all your heart. But here it says the Father is looking for worshipers. He's seeking for worshipers. That means people that pray. That means people with, I mean, especially with YouTube today, you can get this whole song list. And you could worship in the presence of the Lord every day. It's got all the words. I mean, it's helping you out as much as you can. So the first step is you got to be with Jesus. Jesus, give me boldness. Guess what? Jesus is bold. You get more Jesus, you have more boldness. Oh, God, give me love. No, God is love. Get more God and you'll have more love in your life. I mean, we're trying to get the principles. Again, I got most of the self-help books about the principles of the Bible. They throw God. They don't mention God in a lot of them. They want the principles without the prince. That'll work up to a certain point. But then when their marriage starts falling apart, while their business supposedly is a success, while their children, you know, are out and about, and they can't, relationships are jettisoned out, then what happens? You got to have the principles, but more so, you've got to have the prince. The prince of all princes, the king of all kings that are on the earth today. So everybody say, number one, you have to be with Jesus. You got to be a worship. You got to be a person of prayer. It says, when they prayed, it didn't say they just got boldness. It says, when they had prayed, then the boldness came. Number two, you see in verse 31 also, it talks about they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There's one baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there's many fillings. Write that down. There's many fillings. One baptism, many fillings. You got to get filled again and again and again. And I found over the years that according to my level of holy dissatisfaction is to the degree that I will press in or become apathetic towards more of Holy Spirit in my life. If I'm satisfied, Lord years ago showed me, he says, I'll level off where you level off. Because there's no limits. Jesus said, write this down, he gives the Spirit without measure. Like that bottomless cup of coffee, they just keep pouring it. I mean, as much as you want, all you can eat. How much? They don't have that in Latin America. Isn't that right? I mean, because they're afraid people are going to feed all their family members. I can say that as a Latino, so that's all right. You remember the first time, you know, when we lived in Costa Rica, we lived there for 3.5 years. You know, they said, you know, went to the salad bar, Pizza Hut, you know, salad bar, man, it's great. Great. So I go up and it had a sign there, only one trip to the salad bar. Yeah, a little teeny plate. And I said, because they'll feed everybody else, feed all their cousins. And everything. So this guy was coming. I started laughing. He's coming from the salad bar. He must have been an architect. He had his foundation right. He had about that high, balancing it, walking back his one trip. And he spread it out to his whole family. He did it right. When he had the carrots going cross. And he had the tomato. And he had a little... Just like our lives, get foundation. However high you want to go is how deep your foundation in discipleship. That's another message right there. But he gives it without measure. How much do you want? So in that holy, that dissatisfaction's in my life, is it enough to make me press in and say, God, I'm not satisfied. Thank you for Holy Spirit. I appreciate what you've done in your presence. But I want more of you. I have to have more of you. Because there's new levels that we're going to as a nation and as a people. There are new challenges ahead. That the wine from yesterday is not going to be good for today. I mean, the cloud keeps moving. Isn't it interesting? They say in the Middle East there, where Israel came out of Egypt, I mean, they say that it can get so hot during the day up to 130 degrees, you'll burn up. And what did God give them? A cloud by day. But they had to move with the cloud or else they'd get burned up. And they said that same desert can drop almost to freezing in the evening hours. What do you give them at night? Fire. But they had to move with the fire. I see a lot of burnout Christians because they're not moving with more of Holy Spirit. I mean, they're just... And I see others, the fire has moved, and then, no, I'm standing on the promises while sitting in the premises. I'm not moving anywhere. And they're the frozen chosen, stiff and dead inside and just all... You know, want to argue with you and get all these kind of debates and everything. Let me tell you what, small-minded people talk about people. Average-minded people talk about things. Above-average people talk about ideas, visions, and dreams. How many above-average people? The Bible says he's able to give us above and beyond all we can ask or think. Above, going beyond. So number one, you have to be with Jesus. Number two, you have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You want more boldness. And you also see again in verse 31, number three, you have to step out in faith. It said, and they began to speak the word of God. Everybody say began. You got to be willing to step out. One translation says they began to preach. But they began. If you're not willing to take a risk, you won't be able to have boldness. Because it's tied in together. See, a lot of Christians want to see new horizons in life, but they're afraid to lose sight of the shore. They want to play it safe. Somebody should write a book, 101 Ways How to Be a Christian Without Trusting God. We got life insurance. We got fire insurance. We've got you looking at me the wrong way insurance. We want to remove all the risk from Christianity and somehow still call ourselves Christians. See, the same word in Chinese for danger is also the word opportunity, because they know in every opportunity is a built-in danger. In every danger, there's a built-in opportunity. Every opportunity has danger. Danger has opportunity. It goes both ways. You see, people laughed at Peter that, you know, he sunk when he got out of the boat. But guess what? At least he walked a little bit. He got some bragging rights in heaven. I'd rather aim high and fail than to not aim at all and succeed. You got to get out of the boat. You got to be willing to do. If you want to see things you've never seen before in this life, you got to be willing to do things you've never done before in this life. You got to be willing to do things today that others aren't doing to get things tomorrow that others won't get. You got to be willing to step out. As a little kid growing up, my grandfather from the Latino side there in Tampa had all kinds of beautiful fruit trees. He loved having all these fruit trees, papaya and mangoes and bananas, the little small ones, and all kinds of stuff. But his favorite was the avocado tree. How many of you like avocado? If you know anything about the avocado tree, you got to go up to get the avocado. Trees grow about almost five stories high. You got to go. Everybody say, got to go up. And I don't know why, but me, it was always, you know, I got four brothers. There's five of us. And it seemed like I was the one that they always sent up to get the avocados, because you can't wait the avocados to come down to you. Then you got guacamole on the ground. You don't have avocado. You got to go up. Everybody say again, say you got to go up. And it always seemed like the biggest, juiciest avocados were always at the end of the limb, where it was risky. No, I don't think I could do it. Yes, Frankie, they would call me. Frankie again, I'm holding on to the tree. I don't know if they were standing down there, catch the avocado, catch me if I fall. And that's how it is in life. It wasn't that God came to Abraham in the cool of the day like he came to Adam and Eve. It says in the heat of the day, where it's risky, where it's a challenge. The man that comes to his friend at midnight and says, Jesus gave the parable, says, throw me down three loaves. Give me some bread, because I got some friends that came from out of town. He says, though he won't give up and give him anything because he's his friend, but yet because of his persistence, willing to step out. My Bible, when it describes believers, it says the just shall live by faith. They live by faith. What water is to a fish and oxygen is to a human being, so faith is to a believer. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please our God. Impossible. How many of y'all want to please the Lord? Doesn't say without reading your Bible is possible, though that's tied into it. Doesn't say without worship, without putting money in the offering. You got to do that. Tithes and offerings. That's an expression of faith. But it does say without faith, it's impossible to please God. I remember years ago when we were living in Costa Rica, went into Nicaragua. It was 1 month after the change of government, supposedly, from communism to a democracy. We were supposed to meet with the president of the country. We were on our way to meet President Chamorro. Two Sandinista soldiers jumped out to stop the taxi. And they said, where are you going? So we're supposed to meet with the president. They said, nobody's meeting with their day. We're still in charge around here. So I told the pastor, I said, look, let's go. We really should go over to the university campus. And that's why we put such an emphasis on reaching the leaders of tomorrow, which really are the leaders of today. I mean, it's not a side issue for us. 60% of the world's under the age of 25. 19 of every 20 people become Christians do so before the age of 25. After 25 is 1 every 10,000. Then 1 every 25,000 as you get older and older. So he said, I don't know if we can. It's a communistic campus, and, you know, it's, you know, all the buts. But this and but that. Write this down. Sheep obey, goats butt. Well, I don't know if we have a word to go. Two-thirds of the name of God is go. First three letters of Satan's name is sat. I said, we already need to go. Well, but that the government owns that. Oh, hold on. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. You go therefore make disciples. So if he has all authority in heaven and earth, how much does that leave for the devil? Come on, I can't hear you. None. Then why is he winning? Why are more people this Sunday morning be hung over instead of hanging on to the promises of God? Why is that? Because I believe Christians have failed to take their authority and really believe that Jesus won it all. Well, doesn't the Bible say that Satan is the god of this age? Yeah, he's the god of this age of those who let him be the god of this age. But his authority has been stripped away. It's like that guy that in the newspaper a few years back broke into a house and the beaches in Tampa Bay area because the snowbirds from the north coming down. And he didn't break in to steal from the people because the snowbirds went back up north. They only use the house 2 or 3 months out of the year. And the article in the paper was talking about that this guy would stay in the house more months of the year illegally than the owners. The neighbors thought that he was the owner. He's using their bathrobe and wave, "Hey, Joe, how you doing? Mary, hi." Using their jacuzzis back. I mean, they're having a great old time. Until when? Until the owner comes with the papers and authority, get out of here. The same way the devil will hang around your neighborhood as long as you let him hang around your neighborhood. He'll hang around your family as long as you let him hang around your family. He'll hang around your mind as long as you let him hang around your mind. But he has no legal authority. If in doubt, cast him out. Amen? So I said, look, let's just go. You know, well, we don't have an open door. No, Jesus already given us an open door. He said, go into all the world. Who owns that campus? By him, all things were created, the Bible says, both in heaven and earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rules, authorities, all things created by him and for him, and in him, all things are held together. So we went there and we talked to the programming director. We said, we want to do a little outreach here on this campus, painting a Sandino behind him. The guy started laughing. Ha. But right in the middle of it, Holy Spirit showed up. Don't put beyond what Holy Spirit can do. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you're willing to step out, take a risk, get some boldness in Jesus. My boldness doesn't come inherently from me. It comes because I love Jesus so much. I'm in love with him. Not as much love with people per se. The more you love Jesus, the more you're going to love people when you step out. So he said, all right. He said, I'm going to let you have your program. He said, you got a half an hour to advertise it. That's all it takes for Holy Spirit, a half an hour. We ran around the campus with a bullhorn announcing the meeting. Half an hour, 45 minutes later, 150 communistic professors and teachers. I mean, they're in the paintings of all the communist leaders all around the university. Program director said, this is the first time in the history of this university we've ever allowed any religious program of any type. And all these professors started arguing with us. Students started arguing. You know, gringo go home, Yankee. They always pick on the Yankees, not the Boston Red Sox, not the Astros, the Angels. Always the Yankee go home. And all. We didn't want to argue. We began the meeting. And I said, you've tried changing your nation through wars, through political upheaval. I said, what you have here is not a political problem. It's not a social problem. It's not an economical problem. It's a heart problem. You want to change a nation, you got to change the people. You want to change people, you got to change their hearts. And the only one that can change their hearts is the revolutionary of all revolutionaries, Jesus Christ, the original revolutionary. He'll revolutionize your nation, revolutionize your campus, and revolutionize you from the inside out. And these same professors that argued with us at the beginning invited us to come back and talk about this revolutionary Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you five quick. We're only going to take a couple more minutes, 2 or 3 more minutes. Is that, am I all right? Quickly, write this down. 5 secrets to a life of faith, which tied into boldness. 5 secrets. Secret number 1, Jesus did not come to make us safe, but brave. Jesus did not come to make us safe, but brave. Choose not to be safe, but brave. Go for the more demanding climbs in this life, not what's the safest. Indifference can be the worst form of hatred towards self and others. Number 2, Second secret, faith is the economy of heaven. It's the currency of how heaven works. If you don't have faith, you can't do business in heaven. I come here with money from Bolivia. They give me, here, Pastor Frank, we want to bless you with 1,000 Bolivia. It's not going to work at the 7-Eleven or the Publix up the street. It might be a lot of money. You got to have the right currency. There's some here tonight, you're trying to get, the currency of heaven is faith. And it's boldness. And you're trying to do business in heaven, standing on the promises of God, but you're using the wrong currency. Faith doesn't really move God. Faith puts you in a position to receive from God what he's already promised all along. So again, if you don't have faith, you can't do business in heaven. The more correct currency you have, the more your power to purchase, your buying power is in heaven. Everybody get that? Number 3, secret number 3, God always has something better for you that's better than what you left behind. Well, this happened. Well, that happened. Well, you don't know my situation. It's going to be a tombstone or a stepping stone, a scar or a star. He'll turn your mess into a message, your test into a testimony. He always has something better ahead. That's what we have, a big advantage of people out in the world that aren't Christ followers. They don't have it. We have it that even when when things go seem to go bad in our life, well, my boss did this and that happened, and I come from that bad background and all this situation. All things work together for our good. All things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
The depth of your past can be an indicator of the height of your future. Oh, that's good. Man, let me tell you about how bad my past. Well, that just shows the further you pull that bow back is the farther what? You're going to shoot that arrow. Well, my life has been tense. It's been stressful. It's been, the tighter that rope, that string is pulling it back. Because he's getting ready to launch you into some great things. Great things. Secret number four, you don't feel your way to God. You trust and obey your way to him. Again, it says we live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. Cowards esteem their own comfort and ease greater than trust and obedience to God. Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. Got to be willing, but you also got to be obedient. And number five, secret number five, God will always call you to an unfair fight or challenge. Oh, that is so true. Well, you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to believe in him. And that's why we said at the beginning, you got to be a person of private prayer. Will demonstrate itself in public power, private prayer. Because you can't trust someone you don't know. You can't know someone you don't spend time with. Simple as that. That's what we're writing down. You can't trust someone. Faith is not a formula. Boldness is not some kind of step one, step two, step. No. It's an experience. It's a lifestyle. You can't trust someone you don't know. If you don't know Jesus intimately, you're not going to really trust him. When difficult things come up in your life, you're going to start blaming him. I told our church the other day, I believe a good percentage of people that fall away from God is because they begin to blame God. They really are not sure if they think God's holding out on them because they've hit a wall and they don't know the Jesus that we know. So God will always call. He called David. He called Elijah. He called all the disciples. Always call them to an unfair fight. Jehoshaphat said, how can we do anything against this army coming against us? They're bigger. They're stronger. What's your obstacle? What's your challenge? Praise God. It's an opportunity to trust God and get to the other side. There's two types of faith. There's one type of the faith that moves mountains, tells the mountain to leave, uproot it, get out of here. It doesn't say to pray to the mountain. It doesn't say hope the mountain. It says speak to the mountain. But let me tell you, there's another kind of faith which is really tied into the same faith. That God doesn't move the mountain. He has you scale the mountain and get to the other side. There's one kind of faith that stills the storm. Stop. Be still. The storm stops. We like that kind of faith. But how about the kind of faith that you have to trust God through the storm to get to the other side? The advantage of the second kind of faith, write this down, is not only do you come out a winner on the other side, but you also have more character in your life to handle bigger things. Let's pray. Let's pray. The heads bowed. Let me tell you this. One of my greatest quotes is from President Roosevelt. He said, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who stands valiantly, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. How about you? Willing to step out? Do things you've never done before. Believe God for bigger things before. Richest place in the world. It's not South Africa with its mineral deposits. Not Silicon Valley with its great technology. Not the Middle East with its oil reserves. The richest place in the world is your local cemetery up the street, where people went to the grave that had ideas from God to do great things. We're going to step out and start Bible studies and help on campuses, never stepped out. Businesses are going to start to fund missions around the world. They never started them. Books are going to be written to change the way people think about God. They never wrote them. All because of fear of failure. New churches that we're going to start. But yeah, I'm comfortable here where I'm at right now. How about you? Right now where you're at, make a commitment. Make a commitment to Christ. Admit that you can't do it. I can't do it. It's grace. But you have to will to do God's will. It takes God to follow God. That's the great paradox mystery. But put yourself in a position to be inconvenienced like never before. We need more boldness. God is looking for more Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's, Daniels, who will not back down. Even if our God doesn't come through, we're still not going to bow down to compromise. We're going to stand boldly because we serve a big Jesus. Pastor Mike.
Father, we just thank you, God, that we serve a big God. And God, thank you for recalibrating our hearts tonight, God, to align with your will. Thank you for speaking to me tonight. God, through Pastor Franco, through your scriptures, God. Help us, God, to be a courageous people who live valiantly for you, God. Help us to follow you with all our heart, God. A spirit of love, but bold as a lion. God, I pray for every person here that might have be in a place where they've stepped out and they're not sure what the next step is. You know, I just hear the Lord saying that some of you guys have kind of stepped out in faith and you're not sure what the next step is. And he's just calling you to greater trust, greater confidence. Just right now in your own heart, you can just say, Lord, I trust you. Just make that confession. Say, God, I trust you. I don't understand the storm. I don't understand the circumstances. I don't understand what I feel. As Pastor Franco said, you don't get to God by your feelings, but it's by crazy confidence in our Creator God. Some of you are lonely. I just really feel the Holy Spirit just ministers to some people right now. Just whisper, I trust you, God. Some of you have been clenching your fists and saying, I don't understand. Turn that around tonight. Just say, I love you, God. I trust you. You've never left me or forsaken me. I remember that time you called you. I'm here because of you. I wouldn't even be alive in this moment if you wouldn't have spared me or if you wouldn't have seen me through. Where would I be without your grace, God? So tonight, afresh, we put our confidence in you. And thank you, with that confidence comes holy boldness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God just a big hand clap of praise? Wow. Somebody received ministry tonight, something specific, raise your hand if that was you. If you say, you know what, there you go, hands all over this place. It's tremendous. Well, we're going to dismiss. I want to remind you to pick up your children. But if you need prayer for anything, we'll have some prayer leaders, some ministry leaders down here to pray. I'm sure Pastor Franco will spend a few minutes praying for you if you in something in particular. I will say, I don't want you to take my humor the wrong way, that I actually do want you to invite your friends here. It's just reverse psychology to say don't tell your friends. In case you thought I was being a cultish or something. With our new improved app and our cultic mentality. Now we want you to reach all your friends and family for Jesus. Amen. All right.